Steve, thank you so much for coming down to London. Welcome to Winners on a Wednesday. Every single week we have success students. You qualify as a success student. Why don't you give us a little bit of background? Your strategy has been BRR, buying, refurbishing, refinancing. Am I correct?
Yep.
You're making about £3,000-4,000 profit every single month. Just packed in your full-time job. So give us the background story. How did it all happen? What made you get into property in the first place?
Okay, so first job, my boss, I was like a waiter in a restaurant. My boss was an old school landlord. So I kind of fell into like very badly doing property, like just kind of winging it the first few years.
Yeah.
So I built up a little mini portfolio over like over 14 years. And alongside of that, I was always working as a restaurant manager. Then I bought my own pub. Had that for a few years, and then I sort of turned to being a market trader. Went out selling clothes all over the country, and that got me so far.
Yeah.
And then obviously a few things started to change. Then we decided, you know, a daughter arrived, and we're like, okay, we've got to start taking this property game a bit more seriously now and think about the future. And that's how we've ended up here.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many people that are like accidental landlords, or they have it as a bit of a hobby. Mm. And I always say, if you treat it like a hobby, you're going to get hobby-like results. So what was the defining moment when you're like, right, we've dabbled a little bit, but now we're going to go, you said you had your daughter.
Yeah.
Like, was there a moment, or was it just lots of little discussions that kind of...
Well, my wife told me she was pregnant, and yeah. I was working away. I was actually working in Butlins, and I was there with my mate, and I was kind of like, what am I going to do when... My daughter arrives. Like, I can't be away every other weekend, like sort of working around the clock and going home exhausted. I'm good to no one. So I sort of, at this point, I had no training. I had my own kind of made up formula of figuring out what was a good deal. I didn't know there was any training out there. So I went and bought one more place, and that's come good. Like they all come good over time. But the deals I've done since have been like different league.
Yes.
But what it was is knowing I was a dad and thinking, you know, I don't want to work from home anymore. I want to be a family man, and I'm still going to work, obviously, but I don't want to be one of them dads who just comes home Monday to Thursday.
Yeah. So you went from a amateur property professional where you were a landlord and you did have properties to like a professional, totally different types of deals. How much were you making before you got trained with your properties? Were you making a lot of money, a little bit of money?
It was doing all right, but I had never analysed it as wages. I was brought up from the opinion, get a house, rent it out, pay the mortgage off. It's a savings account. But debt's really bad, don't do it. And then I start to realise, the more you look at every expert out there, they're saying, well, debt's not bad. You can have this as wages and reinvest it and grow it and grow it and grow it.
Yeah.
So like, I started to look at that, and I suppose I was making about by now it's up to 2,300, but that's 14 years of growth. And
yes.
It wouldn't have been that from day one, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So now we're up to, it would have been about 2,200 quid, £2,000 say, give or take a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're on how much?
I'm going to be just short, the deals we've already done, we're going to be just short of 4.
Yeah.
And then with the bolt-ons we've got to them, we're building an extension, we're going to be well past 5.
That's great. So you've basically doubled your what you did in 14 years, you've doubled in just literally how many? What, 6 months or something?
Yeah, 6 months, I suppose. By the time the extra flat's built, it will be maybe a year. But by then, obviously, we've got the other deals in the pot as well. So God knows where it'll be.
That's great. You know what? It's really good because a lot of people that come on Winners Wednesday, they come on, they've got no money, they've got no property experience, and then they get some rent-to-rent deals, and then they make £2,000 a month. Whereas it's really refreshing having someone who's been in the game probably longer than I have. I mean, I've been in the
shamefully.
Game. Yeah, I've been in the game like 11, 12 years. So, you know, you've been in the industry a long time. But then having someone that's, already in property and then go, actually, I want to really scale this. I want to do it properly. I want to learn the formulas. I think it's really refreshing. So started at the crash course.
Yeah.
We always say it all starts at the crash course. What happened? What was your experience of those 2 days?
Well, to be honest with you, I had actually like decided to give property investing a rest prior to that.
Yeah.
I'd been working so hard and I'd sort of made myself bad overdoing it. And I said, you know what? You know, I tried everything and I got ill. I said, you know, I'm not doing any more property. I'm just not doing it. And I promised my mum, says no more houses, mum. And she's like, oh, thank God, okay.
Yeah.
And then just by accident, I came across the YouTube channel and I came across the Winners Wednesdays. I was like, these guys are amazing. These guys are absolutely amazing. Like, you know, I'm re-inspired. Like, I had done a bit of training before, but nothing had happened. Yeah. No reflection on the company. It was just me. I hadn't done anything. And I was like, these guys are like 20 and they're smashing it out of the park. And it's happening every week, you know. So I went along to the crash course and I just came back just absolutely buzzing. Just think, you know, I'm I felt like I'd been brought back to life with it all. I was like, this is absolutely great.
Yeah.
And when in sort of straight away the deal I got was off market, I just chased estate agents, like you say, ring up, speak to people, talk to them.
Yeah.
And that property wasn't for sale. And next thing you know, I bought it and it's great.
That's awesome. And I know you did some advanced training with us as well.
Yeah.
You went and did the deal finding extravaganza. You're now in the process of joining the academy.
Yeah.
So which is phenomenal. Talk to me about after the crash course, what was the first deal that you did?
There's a property I had my eye on for quite a long time. It was two freehold flats next commercial building, been all converted already.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. It just sits at 20% as it is. It's just a no-brainer. But there's a few problems with it, like the guys that had done the conversion probably weren't builders.
Yeah.
So like it went to auction, and I was thought, oh, if that was a bit cheaper, I'd look at that. And it hasn't sold at auction. A guy at 200, so probably looking for 210, 220, aren't they?
Yeah.
I ended up paying 169 for it because I just kind of went to the agent and I said, is that property still for sale?
Yeah.
He went, no, we haven't got it anymore. I've gone, oh, okay. So has it been sold? They're like, no. I was like, well, have you got the landlord's number? They're like, yeah. He goes, would you mind maybe ringing him, see if he'd sell it just directly?
Yeah.
And that just came out of nowhere. And after I sealed that deal, weeks later, loads more people are trying to get it, but it was too late and we've got
wow.
that deal.
So did you call the landlord direct then?
I asked to, but they wasn't so keen on that idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, no. I was interested in how that story panned out.
No, they obviously they've worked hard trying to sell it. They wanted the commission. But
yes.
They did a great job and they reached out to him. He lived in Canada, as it turns out. So like he was hard to reach and he was kind of a bit fed up with the property. And you could see that there's a few problems with it. He was kind of thinking, oh, I can't be doing this. But we've got it all fixed for a few grand and tenants are happy.
So that's great. I mean, a lot of people would see, oh, the property's off the market. It's gone now. Okay. Whereas you said, oh, it's off the market. Has it actually been sold? Can I speak to them? Like pushed. And I think that's a great lesson in how you need to be as a property investor. You need to be someone that rather than just stopping at a no, actually continues to push. And that's something that we do practically at the training. What talk to me the figures then. So you bought it for 169?
Bought it for 169.
Yeah.
So it was already occupied by lots of tenants. They were both saying, oh, we're leaving, there's a few problems. So I just said, don't worry, you know, we'll sort it. I said, obviously, you know, we take a few months till we own it. I said, but it's no problem. They're both paying £600 a month each.
Yeah.
So like it's making us about £900.
Good.
That is. But it's a massive site. So now we've just going through planning to put a big extra unit on the back. I've got lots of builder friends. So obviously quotes are looking good. And I've got an architect friend as well. So we're just basically going through planning and we'll be putting at least one more of the same on the back.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So once you've done that then, so you buy it for 169, you're renting it out for £1,200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've built, how much will it cost to build the...
I'm allowing, because I've got friends and you know it's local, I can probably do it for 40.
40,000.
Yeah.
And so that means 170. So all in, you're talking about 210,000, including the new bit. So what do you think the end value will be on that?
Well, everywhere I look, the flats I can't see how I've not heavily underpaid already.
Yeah.
Everywhere I look, I think, well, them flats are like 120, 110, because they're freehold flats. They're not, and they're big. They're great big, like apartment flats.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to be knocking for minimum of three on a bad day.
Is the plan to refinance?
Yeah, but I've got to wait for that one. I can't do it straight away. It's kind of the condition of being a multi-block. But that falls back in line with the building time.
Yes.
So like at the end of the 2 years, I probably could pull nearly, if not all of my money out of it.
Yeah. And people just don't realise that you can do this kind of thing.
No, it's bizarre.
People think, you know, save up for a deposit, buy a little house. Save up for a deposit, buy a house. Mm. That's going to take you a lot. Unless you're on a ridiculously good salary, a footballer or something, it's going to take you a long time to become financially free doing that. And that's what most landlords do.
I took me 14 years of overtime to get four properties. That's what I did. And I just to fund these flats, I just refinanced the one I bought 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So like it's...
But what you were doing though, that slow way, is still a lot better than what most people do, which is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the fact that you were working hard, working overtime, saving, buying houses, that's the slow way. It takes 14 years to maybe make £2,000 a month, which is good. That's okay. But then what do you do differently now? What's the fundamental difference between you as a property investor in 2020? Now you've done the training. Now you've had a new lease of life compared to you, say, a couple of years ago.
I think you look at it from a different perspective. Like you don't look at it like, oh, there's a problem with the house. You're like, what's a problem? Let's solve it.
Yeah.
Let's get your tenants happy. Let's keep properties in good condition.
Yeah.
So nothing's a problem. You know, that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think how fast you stack a deal. Like now, it's almost like code. You just go, oh yeah, 20%. You think you can do it sometimes without a calculator if it's round figures. So straight away when you see a deal, you can know what the rent is and you know what condition it's in.
Yes.
I think it helps know a little bit about how to keep a condition of a property good,
yeah.
a rough costing. So I think getting a buzz off doing it and being ambitious, not being scared to borrow, I think is massive.
Yeah.
I was taught it was bad.
Yes, greed is so powerful. I mean, you've basically just summed up like a lot of what we do on the Crash Course, which is value a house, value the rent, work out the return on investment. That's the first thing. But it's amazing how many people have been in property for decades and they don't know actually how to do that.
No.
They talk about yields or they talk about things to do with feelings, and it's actually nothing to do with what's relevant about being a professional property investor, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, working out return on investment. Also debt, leveraging money. Talk to me about that.
So I've always, you know, not wrongly, I've always been of the opinion of the investors that I know and, yeah. you know, family. They're like, you know, you get a house, pay it off, and then you secure investment, you're okay. And I'm like, yeah, but if you do it here somehow, you can have two or three with that money. They're like, yeah, but what if the interest rate goes up? I'm like, but if you stacked it, it's okay. What do you mean stacked it? I've got my interest rates have to hit 15% for me to be in serious trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, then the rents are going to go up and then you can always sell one.
So
you haven't
true.
Got to keep them forever, you yeah. know, even though you should. But
you know what? And there's no right or wrong. Sometimes, you know, everyone's wired differently. But my opinion is if you want to be rich, if you want to become a multimillionaire through property, you just cannot do that without leveraging money, being smart, stacking the deal correctly. And I love what you said about it's going to have to go up 15% or more. And it's possible. I mean, come on. It has been in the... If you go back before I was born, but it has happened. But the likelihood of that is so slim. And even if that did happen, if you've stacked it right, you'll probably be at break even. And then you can just sell. Like, it's very unlikely. And worst case. I mean, well, if that happened, we'd all be screwed.
I said that. I said to my wife, I said, well, if we lose the portfolio, the whole country's probably going to lose the house.
Yeah.
I say, so I feel sorry for everyone, as much as myself. I'm happy with that very small risk.
And whether you'd put your £100,000 into four or five properties as opposed to buying it in one, if you put all your money in one house, that's more risky, because then if that house drops, you're screwed.
Yeah.
And you've put all of your hard-earned money in one house. Whereas if you leverage it and you spread it out, you're going to get more cash flow, more expected capital appreciation, you're in a safer position. So I actually think not only is it better at becoming rich, unarguably, but I actually think it's safer.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
So what's talk to me about some of the other deals. So that was that one. What else?
Yeah, so the other deal we've done is a BRR.
Right.
This one's one where it's we can't pull all of our money out. We can pull out probably double what the refurb costs.
Okay.
But we're not even buying it for our own money. So the money's being lent to us. So we're going to have like probably plus £8,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
For having a house that cash flows about £600 a month.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Where did you get the money from?
From a relative, like, you know, relative who asked me about property skeptically. And then I just thought, you know what I'll do? I'll just, to be honest, I'll say, well, what I get is equivalent to 20% in the bank. I said, that's what, you know, instead of 0.05, limited at £20,000, I get unlimited returns on 20% of the right deals.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I don't want to buy anything, but like, you know, how do we get involved in this?
Yeah.
And that's been dead simple. That's been really easy. So We're doing the refurb. We've got tenants waiting. Old tenants come and rung me up. Said, "Steve, you know, we want something to live. We'll take it. We know you."
Yeah.
So there's actually no lull in waiting for anything. It's all just going to fire through.
Yeah.
And what I love about BRR as well is, you know, everything's tip top when you're finished. When you do it from scratch,
yes.
You're like, oh, sometimes you're like, oh, that board is a bit old. One day that might go. Or you know, the wiring's tip top. The decor's great. You've done it all yourself and you've ripped it back to brick. So you know you've got a hell of a good house.
So true. And just for anyone that doesn't know what you mean by BRR, so you can buy a house and just dump a deposit in and rent it out. That's basic buy-to-let. What you're talking about, what you do, which is great, is when you put money in and then you force the value up, and you do that by refurbishing the property. And often it might just be a case of, I presume the properties that you've been buying, they might not even be mortgageable because there's not a good kitchen, bathroom, potentially.
Quite possibly. I think this one was just about short of that. Just. It was, you know, it was a shame, really. The guy's been widowed and he hasn't looked after the house. He hasn't been able to.
Yeah.
So it's just like years and years. Maybe it was probably in good nick 30 years ago. And now it's at a point where, but obviously I get what you're saying. It's perfect if there's not mortgage on it. Because
Then you can get a really good deal. So you force the value up and then you get a new mortgage and you refinance, pulling out as much as possible. If you pull all your money out, then you're laughing. But typically you'll pull maybe 80%, maybe 90% of your money out, meaning you're leaving very little money of your own. Into the property. So that's cool. Secondly, but the fact that you borrowed money from family, again, it's just so different way of thinking, isn't it? Because it's just a different, it's like a new set of rules.
I think it helps when you've got one example to show them you've already done. I think I have. Obviously, sometimes, like, you know, like, God bless him, over the years, my dad, he would be helping me with anything.
Yeah.
You know, help me when I bought a pub, and that wasn't a good idea. You know, he was happy to help. Where, like, when you say, oh, you know, I am getting 20%, you know, this has gone up £50,000.
Yeah.
it's kind of like, oh, this guy, maybe you do know what you're doing. And it hasn't got to be that big. Even if it's just a rent-to-rent, you're saying, I'm making £800 a month or £500 a month out of this property. I think it helps on getting outside finance if you've got something to show them.
Oh, I think so. And I also think it helps with your confidence, because if you're a bit unsure about the deal, I think it will get this much. Whereas if you say, I've done it, I've been trained, I'm experienced, here's the actual evidence of one that I'm already doing suddenly. And that's why I think, I always say, your first deal, and when we met, you'd already done deals, but your first deal is always the hardest, because that's when you've got no experience, you've got no confidence, you've got no, so, but once you've got a first good deal, then you can then, for instance, borrow money, you can really start scaling. So what are the plans then for the next few months or few years?
Well, I'm excited now. I'm really excited. I'm actually the most buzzing I've been about my work for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the pressure's not on in respect that, you know, my end of the bills are covered now, you know, from the passive rent.
And congratulations, because you've just quit your job.
Yeah. Yep.
So tell me about that quickly, because that's exciting.
Yeah, well, I was on the road and obviously selling, not a market trader, but I'd go to venues like leisure companies and I'd sell like clearance wear, but it's grueling graft. Yeah. You know, it's absolutely grueling.
Sleeping away. What sort of salary were you on?
Not a great deal, probably, like, anywhere, it varies with that game.
Yeah,
one year, you know, I suppose an average is 20k.
Okay, cool.
It's 20k, but it was quite casual how we did it.
Yeah.
It was, for me, I only got into that by mistake.
But now you're making more in property than you were in your job.
Yeah.
Like, considerably.
Yeah.
Which is just awesome.
But for that, I had 20-30k wrapped up in stock, and I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I actually doing? You know, why do I, it's a lot harder to shift 30 grand worth of t-shirts.
How do you feel now after quitting your job?
I just chilled. Like, I love it. I love working. I love what I do.
Yeah.
But like, some days, if you maybe your little girl wants to go to the park, you can have the odd day off.
Yeah.
You know, or like, just the pressure's not on. You know, you can maybe treat someone to something, little things like that. You can be generous at Christmas. You know, or like, I just feel like I can pick what I do and be better. Hopefully, like, I want to be better. I want to, you know.
How old is your daughter?
She's nearly two.
Oh, that's so cool. My daughter's two as well. So I can definitely relate to wanting to be at home a little bit more. And I think that's the thing. I mean, I teach property, but really the thing that I aspire to help people with is just having a bit more freedom in their life. And, you know, being able to spend a bit more time at home, to be able to spend a little bit more at Christmas just to enjoy yourself is great. So going back to my last question then, talk to me about your plan. What's the strategy throughout this year?
Well, the plan this year is obviously we get this build done on the back flat, you know, because obviously that's that all capped off and solid and done. We've got this lease option to address. It's not me who's in contact with the seller.
Yeah.
It's the builder guy. So obviously it's his connection. So eventually, I think maybe I may have to like say, can I maybe have a word? But I think he's got it under wraps. But if that goes off well, because he's saying, listen, I don't know anything about property or licensing, it makes my head spin, but I'll fix everything. They just ring me, I'll go round.
Yeah.
I mean, for a HMO landlord, that's a godsend, isn't it?
Yeah.
A partner who can fix everything for nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you become knowledgeable in property, suddenly there might be people that haven't got, sorry, that have got money, but they've not got knowledge.
Yeah.
Or they've got different, but when you've got, I think knowledge is just such a, and now you're experienced, you've got knowledge, you've got all the inside tricks and tips. So I think that's very possible. Lease option agreement, what is a lease option agreement for anyone who doesn't know?
Yeah, it's where you go, you intend to buy the property, you've got the option to buy it at the end of a short lease. So you might say to a landlord, I'll give you a fixed rent for a period. It's off your hands, you know. If you're a tired landlord, or if you know, maybe for some reason you don't want to be a landlord at the moment, we'll pay you a rent. We'll take control of the property and look after it for you.
Yeah.
But at the end of that, we've got an agreed price where, you know, we've got the option. We'd fully intend to buy it. And for the landlord, it means they can achieve more money ultimately, can't they?
Yeah. And from your point of view, it means you're not having to put money down up front. Effectively, it could be a no or very little money down project.
Yeah.
So talk to me about, if you were like advising yourself from say a year ago, what would you, because that was when did we first meet, or when did you first come to the crash course?
Came the crash course in September.
Oh, so not even that long ago, just like sort of maybe 6 months or less.
6 months, yeah.
Yeah. What would you advise yourself if you were advising your like 1 year younger self in property? What are the best things that you've learned?
Okay. First thing I'd say, just remember to enjoy it. You're choosing to do it, so enjoy it.
Yeah.
And go easy on yourself. Like, you obviously set big goals and work hard, but don't sort of destroy yourself if they don't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Because some people, they can, it just happens for them, doesn't it? They're like, bang, massive deals, it's flowing. Like for me, it took a bit longer, but now it's rolling, it's great.
Yes.
So I think, you know, go easy on yourself and, you know, but keep in mind what, you know, what the goal is.
Yeah.
And lastly, if you don't do anything else, have some training. If this was around when I started by now, it would be a different story.
I'm sorry I wasn't doing training when you started. I know. Yeah, I'm sorry. What can I say? But yeah, no, I think talk to me about the training thing, because you've been on the crash course. You've also been on some of the advanced training. Why did you choose to do that? Because, you know, it costs time, it costs money. Yeah. Why did you choose to do that, and was it worthwhile?
You can never know too much, can you? Mm. Like, even if you've been to training, or, you know, free or pay before, and you might have heard it before, when you hear the same information off really knowledgeable, great people who are doing it now, you're like, oh, well, that definitely works. So yeah. Don't be scared to do that.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are doing amazingly well. And I think you need the... And it can be quite an isolated place to be, doing property on your own. Like, when you talk to someone and they just look through, you're like, hmm. That, when you get around 200 or 300 young, hungry people bouncing to go... What more do you need than that? And knowledge of people who have, like, doing all the strategies, they're doing them now.
Yeah.
I think that's massive. It's not like I did this 10 years ago, copy me. It's like, we're all doing all this now.
Yes.
And that's kind of, for me, that's great adrenaline to be following, and you know, the hunger. So that means a lot, you know, the mood.
I think it's also, I mean, the knowledge is one thing which is really important, we've talked about, but I always say environment is stronger than willpower.
Definitely.
And being in that kind of environment, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the reasons why I actually like to train. And I go to training courses myself. I fly all over the world, because when you're in an environment of people that support you, that want you to do well, they get it. It can be lonely being an entrepreneur. People don't get it. How's your... was your wife at the crash course?
She's... No, I'm desperate.
What's
to
going
drag
on? Talk to me about your wife, and how does she feel about all this craziness?
Well, she's a nurse, and she trusts me 100%, and she's like my... sometimes if I've got some crazy ideas, I'll say, can you just write all this down, listen to me, and tell me what you think?
Yeah.
So I'll walk around in circles going, ROI, blah, blah. She knows what ROI is. She can stack a deal.
Yeah.
I'm desperate to drag her to a crash course, but... For her, she's like, look, I've got a job, I'm a nurse, I've got the baby, I trust you, I'll help you when you need me. She'd rather go and strip the wallpaper.
Yeah.
But that suits me, because she 100% supports me.
Yeah.
It's my old business partner's next. I'm bringing him to your crash course this year.
Great, good.
I'm bringing him, you know, we had the pub together. I've said, look, mate, later in the year, you know, when you change your job, let's get something started.
Good.
Work with me.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll see him this year.
That's great. And I think it's important to have people around you as well that make sure that you're not going completely insane.
You know,
make sure, because you can get so carried away. We've to have people around you that are grounded, and I'm not talking about being negative here. No one wants negative people, but to have someone that supports you, but at the same time you can tell them your ideas and make sure that you're not going completely insane. I know sometimes I feel like I'm going insane, like buying the castle. I remember just thinking, am I completely insane? You know, but having people around me to say, no, you're not. You know, you're going to make money on it, as well as love doing it, and you're going to learn a lot. You know, I think that's really important. So what's biggest sort of takeaway then from not the training now, but from actually doing it over these last sort of 5-6 months, buying the properties, doing the refurbs? Like, what's been the big takeaways?
Just do your homework and then commit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, make sure you've done your due diligence, and, you know, however you want to do it, you know, make sure you do... check the formulas are right, make sure you check the build, follow everything you've been taught, and then just commit to it. Don't get cold feet. You've done the checks, you know.
Yeah.
Ask somebody else who's a training, keep in contact with your network, ask someone else to look if you're not sure.
Yeah.
And it's not that big a deal, is it?
No.
It's not that big a deal. Just commit and enjoy it, and just get stuck in and be looking onto the next thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing I do now. As soon as I'm finishing a project, I'm looking onto the next one, because it just gets you so excited.
Gets
you so hungry, and
yeah,
you know, you think, oh, what, you know, I don't want this to end. It's great.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I think if you're going to work hard anyway, you might as well get rich. I mean, the average salary is what, 2-3 grand a month at best. Like, so in property, you can make so much more than that. Why not just say the fact that you've gone full time in property? It's a very, very exciting, it's a very, very exciting future. What does your day to day look like?
My day to day now.
Well, how long have you been full time in property?
Yeah, just well, I decided after the crash course going into the DfE, I knew I could do it because I had a stock led business. I had to stick in the business for a few months to pull my money out.
Yes.
Because obviously that's another part of the deposit I've got sat in the van.
Yeah.
So, you know, nowadays I'm just I'm working hard on the BRR. Like, I know generally going forward I wouldn't always be there, but because my refurb team's in my town and then my guys are not, just for me given a few hours, I really do get it done at the right money.
Yeah.
So I'm involved in that. I'm constantly always looking at deals every day. Every day I'll check anything new on, you know, what's going on.
And where do you look? Like on Rightmove, Zoopla?
All of them.
Go on all Gumtree, OpenRent.
Facebook, anywhere.
Facebook.
Quick look. You can get them all done in 20 minutes, can't you?
You can. It's amazing, though, how much you can. Like, for me, I'm the same. I'm an habitual property checker. Instead of, first thing I'll do in the morning, you know, instead of going on Instagram or whatever, I'm just looking just to see what new deals have come up. And I think it's almost like, even if you're full-time, the nooks and crannies of life. We have so much time, like 5 minutes here, half an hour here, an evening, a Saturday. And instead of on a Saturday choosing to lounge around or go shopping, why not go and look at houses?
Why not?
And then in the nooks and crannies of life, instead of scrolling through Facebook, how about scroll through Rightmove?
Yeah.
You know, instead of phoning your mates and just saying, hey, what are you up to? How about phoning a estate agent and book a viewing? It's just these small changes that then can ultimately lead to big changes in lifestyle.
I think it adds on, doesn't it? So like, just by me saying to a builder, hi, I've got this great project. Do you want to come do the work? He's like, well, I've got a project too. Do you want to come and get involved in like a HMO potential lease option?
Yeah.
And like, just talk and be out there, just be honest and be frank about what you're doing, and you know, it all kind of adds on, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, you've spoken a lot about team and network. What tips would you give around building your power team? And okay, I know it might be something that you've done over the years, but like, if you wanted to get a management company, builders, how do you find those people?
I think I could find what I've found again now in 6 months.
Yeah.
But it took me 10 years by just learning the hard way, really.
Yeah.
Or 14 years. But I'd say, you know, tell everybody what you do, not in a way like, it hasn't got to be loud. It can be what you do. Oh, invest in property. Oh, my mate's a builder. Yeah. Or, you know, oh, okay, do you want to give us a quote? Or maybe give them a little job first to see how they get on and find out what they might charge.
Yeah.
Be friendly with people as well. You know, and when you put it out there, I remember I put on Facebook, I'm sending off the last bit of stock here because I'm focused on the property business. One guy calls me. I used to wait on his table 15 years ago. He's like, yeah, we're getting rid of two HMOs in the next couple of years. He said, and there's a few more bits in the portfolio. Do you want us to ring you when we're sending them? I'm like, yes, please.
Wow, that's so powerful.
Well, I just said it. Just said what I'm doing.
Just putting it out there.
Just put it out there politely and gently and just follow through on what you do.
Yeah.
And people know you're a good guy. You're not going to let them down. And, you know, people will come to you as well, won't they? You haven't always got to go to them.
It's great coming from you because, I mean, rule number one of being a property investor is to tell the world you're a property investor. And so many people I see, even at the Crash Course, they're secret entrepreneurs. You know, they come in secret. They don't tell anybody. They book the day off and everyone thinks they're having a spa day, but actually they're learning about property. and their plan is to very quietly become successful in secret because they don't want to look stupid. Because if they say they're a property investor, then people say, well, how many properties do you own? How many? They don't want to look silly. And their plan is to just ultimately quietly become financially free, come on Winners Wednesday and ta-da, tell the world.
Yeah.
And I always say it's not like that. You need to tell the world first. And then you speak it out and you speak it into existence. And you don't need to be, one of the great things you said is you don't need to do it in a loud mouth way. So when I tell people, you've got to tell the world, they'll probably, because I'm quite an extrovert, I speak on stage, I have a YouTube show and a podcast, they think, wow, I couldn't do that. But it doesn't have to be like that. You can tell people quietly. You can just do it in a very you-like way.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I was always scared to say anything because I've been an ex-pub landlord. I was a young one.
Yeah.
Obviously, you must know about this too. Like, as soon as, when you're young and you do something big, you get a lot of questions. Like, oh, God. You know, not always negative, but you feel a little bit like, I used to feel like I couldn't say what my success was.
Yeah.
I feel like people think I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And now I'm just saying, well, no, I'm not saying successful, I'm just saying I do property.
Yeah.
And that this is one we've done. And does anybody maybe want to, now and again, I mean, I might even just say, does anybody want to rent this house? Yeah. And they're like, oh, I didn't know you did property. How do you do it? And then you tell them a bit. They're like, oh, okay. And then before you know it, like, it's another connection and they're everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're absolutely everywhere. They're in your family, they're your friends.
Yeah.
You know, the friends of friends who don't know what to do with a house.
Mm.
It's just, it's everyone lives somewhere. Everyone's got a house they might want some help with.
Yeah, so it's really quite clever, a clever strategy to just sort of, every time you rent a house, hey, I'm renting this house out, because you're also telling people you're a property investor in a non, because English people don't like bragging and I get a lot of haters, you know.
Yeah.
I get people like, you know, like, whoa, but I'm probably more out there than you have to be, but that's just, I'm being true to myself, that's my personality. But you can do it in a little bit more of a subtle way. It's going to help with finding deals, finding power team, the amount of deals. I probably get about 20 people a day send me property deals.
Really?
I've got, it's constantly coming through. You know, I've got a property, I've got this piece of land, can you have a look at it? I'll send it off to Ben, my property director. He'll filter it through. And it's just, and that property business is actually a people business.
Mm.
You know, and you'll probably know that more than anybody. It's, the money comes from people. It comes from the tenants. It comes from the sellers. It comes from the investors. It doesn't actually come from the property itself, even though the property will outlive the people.
Absolutely. Yeah, outlive all of us, won't it? Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Well, it will, hopefully.
Still standing. So why property? Why did you choose property over every other possible, like stocks and shares? And why did you choose property?
Okay. Well, like you say, it's people business. So I was like restaurant manager, pub landlord, market trader. I like dealing with people. I don't really want to just be clicking a mouse all day looking at the price or something. That wasn't really for me. And I kind of fell into it from a young age with like my my mentors, if you will, like unofficially, all did property, like nothing like this, but they might have a two or three buy to lets, and that was their bolt on to the side of their business.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of been involved in it. Then I just realised one day, like, there's so much more to this than just like two or three buy to lets where you, every month you're putting the money back in to pay them down. It's actually the only thing I found what you can do with a bit of training that's actually limitless.
Mm.
It actually is limitless, isn't it? You can do, you can go as far as you want to go with it if you've got the right knowledge and right backup. Yeah.
How far do you plan to take this? You plan on being like a multi-millionaire?
Oh, no. I don't ever think about the money, but obviously, like I said, when I got to my portfolio, got to a million, I'd feel like I got to a milestone.
Yeah.
As soon as you got there, like, I'm grateful.
Are you there now?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, portfolio is just over that now. Yeah.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Megan, you're property millionaire. It's mega news. And I know for you, it might be almost embarrassing to.
Yeah.
You've got to own that title, dude.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's what I've got to work on, I think. You've got to, like, say, own the title. But now it's like, well, we've got £1 million portfolio. Wouldn't it be nice to have £1 million equity in the portfolio?
Yes.
You know, so we don't put too strict.
Well, that's just called a millionaire.
Just a straight millionaire. Yeah.
And you can only own it because you've earned it.
That's right.
You know, you can only own it because you've earned it.
When you've got kids, it's massive. I don't care so much about the money. I know you're very much the same, aren't you? Like, it's not. It's for the reward.
Yes. I've got a flat salary anyway. So my properties give me a salary. That's that. So for sure, it's about the reward.
Yeah.
What about kids? What do you plan on? You've got one child.
I've got one little girl now, yeah.
Can you see her one day being a property entrepreneur?
Well, I want her to see that. I think so. I hope so. But if she doesn't want it, she hasn't got to do it.
Yeah.
But what I want to show is, look, so you can do whatever you want to do, no matter how big, no small, or how small. But like, if you put your mind to it, and you care about it, you love it, and you try hard, it's true what they say. Nearly anything is possible.
Yeah.
You know, just believe in yourself, and it's a big world out there. Do what you want. Now I've got her, I'm so inspired by people who inspire me, like you guys. I'm like, it is possible. Just get stuck in. So for her, I can't wait when she's old enough to start showing her things I think can be of use to her. Not just for the money helps, obviously. It's not just the money, though, is it? It's the growth.
Yeah, for sure. Will you send her to a crash course?
Oh, yeah. A six-year-old, all right. Yeah,
of course. Yeah,
like 4 years should
of
be there.
Course.
Then.
I don't know what the youngest person is in here, but we've had kids. Parents have sometimes bought their kids genuinely, and I'm happy for that, as long as the kids are old enough to try and listen. But it's quite simple. And I think, you know, with training, I mean, as I've said this to you before, Steve, if you want to do anything, if you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a hairdresser, an electrician, you need to have training. But people think property, just because you don't need the qualification to do it professionally, you really should. You really should. I that's why I'm a trainer.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I totally agree. Why wouldn't you? Like, you know, I realise now that if I, in 6 to 12 months training, I probably could have covered the majority of 14 years of costly mistakes.
Yeah.
That's frightening, isn't it?
That is. You know? I'm just so glad that you've done it. I'm so glad that you're succeeding. I'm so glad that you've become a property millionaire, soon to be equity millionaire, which is incredible. So final piece of advice then for the listeners. You've been in the game for 14 years.
Yeah.
You've done remarkably well. You're going to be becoming even more successful. What will be the top number one, not to put you on the spot, top number one piece of advice that you'd give people listening?
I've got to do one into two. I'd say get basically trained and be positive.
Yeah.
Be positive. Don't look at things as problems. Look at problems to be solved.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, because they're not going away by getting angry about it. And I think if you can get some help, then that does save you years. I can tell you now, it saves you years.
Yeah.
You know, it does, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
you know.
For sure.
So I look at the deals I bought now compared to the deals I bought back years ago. And if I'd been buying deals like this then, I probably would already be where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, but I've had to wait for 10 years of equity, 10 years of growth, 10 years of rent to feel that benefit. Mm. Where if I knew how to stack as well and knew about the BRR model, I could have BRR one of my houses years ago. And off the back of that, bought 4 or 5 more.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you didn't realise how good a vehicle property is, do you? Until I had to have like 6-7 years to look at the equity build up to realise, oh my God, I've made more money out of this than my job.
Yeah.
Why haven't I done more of this?
Yeah. You know, so powerful.
Crazy.
So powerful. Well, Steve, it's been a real pleasure. I look forward to having dinners with you and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Getting to know you even better. And thanks for coming on the show. Cheering you on. And respect for quitting your job, man.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Cheers.